Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Well, I try to take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what, and to step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Women Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't think I would have any advice per se because I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it one way or another, good or bad.
I think it comes down to being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal because everything that happens to me happens to just basically everybody, especially women.
You're listening to The Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Do you ever feel like you need to be Wonder Woman to get everything done and be the awesome, powerful woman you know you can be? Well, you're definitely not alone. We all need to remember to use our superpowers, the ones we already have, but we don't use all the time. Toward the end of the show, in a segment called Superpowers for Success, I ask my guest about her superpowers, and the answers are unbelievable. I am so happy you're here, so thanks for tuning in. Today's topic is getting organized, and hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be ready to take action, whether you're already organized or you need to start from scratch. My guest today is certified professional organizer Miriam Ortiz-Pino and owner of More Than Organized. Today, I'm going to talk with Miriam about the power of getting and staying organized and creating systems for getting long-term results. That's what the episode is all about, and Miriam has generously given us her 1-Minute Mail Solution Kit, so listeners can download it at wellwomanlife.com/003show. I love the kit because it lays out exactly how to get control over your paper, and I think you'll really enjoy my guest's insights on the show today. But before we get started, a quick word about our sponsor. I want to thank our sponsor today, Leafy Greens. They provide seasonal cleanses and nutrition consultations, and I love them. Leah is the owner, and she does a wonderful 21-day cleanse that literally changed my life a couple of years ago. Visit wellwomanlife.com/leafygreens to sign up for the cleanse and get a great discount. Now back to the show and my interview with Miriam Ortiz-Pino. Miriam Ortiz-Pino, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Miriam, you're a professional organizer, and we know that you have your own company and you provide these services. Give us a short summary of who you are and what your commitment is to women's well-being, since we're on the Well Woman Show.
I've always been a firm believer that systems can liberate you and free up your time and your energy so you can use it to focus on what's actually important to you. So I love to help people, especially women, just set up their systems and routines so that they can live their best life and create their best stuff.
Miriam, can you describe a time in your life when you weren't that organized or you needed to do more to like take care of yourself and put those things in place for yourself?
Yeah, anytime there was a transition for me, it always takes a little bit of time to get back up to speed and get organized and adjust my systems to the new scenarios. There have also been a few times in my life where I've suffered from a bit of depression, and having those systems in place allowed me to continue getting what I needed to get done without it requiring a whole lot of extra time and effort and a little bit of space around getting myself healthy again.
Just in terms of like getting to know you, so our listeners really can feel like and know who you are as a person. How do you think being a woman has impacted your work and what you do in your life with your business?
Don't really know that it actually has. made that much of a difference. I think being a woman changes the way I approach things, maybe, but it doesn't change the underlying need to have a foundation and a system in place to keep going with day-to-day living and setting up my business and things. It may change the way I look at the solution a little bit. So I tend to be fairly practical and linear thinker anyway, but anytime you can use it to support other endeavors, family, relationships, that's really helpful as well. So I don't know if that's a great answer to that question, but I don't see it as different for men and women.
Is the field of professional organizing dominated by women?
Oh yeah, it's easily 95% women. And I think it's because they're the people that set up the household. On the other hand, time and productivity management is dominated by men who don't think of themselves as organizers. They think of themselves as productivity experts. It's an interesting mix. It's actually the same thing. They just talk about it differently.
Interesting that men and women would use sort of different language to describe it.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it comes from, except maybe efficiencies and that kind of thing from the workplace, probably.
Was there a point in your life, in your early career maybe, where you had a sort of an aha moment about needing to become a well woman or improve your own well-being?
Probably when I was working two jobs trying to pay the rent when I lived in San Francisco, and how do you keep the household running and yourself sane and feeling like you're on top of things when you're working 80 hours a week, and being an introvert and needing time to take off and recuperate because of being an introvert. That's when I started realizing, oh, if I set things up so it's really easy to clean and really easy to pay my bills and really easy to pick out what I'm going to wear next, all those things allowed me to be that busy without losing my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were living in San Francisco, juggling multiple jobs, having to be organized so that you can be the productive person that you are. Do you remember, can you tell us a specific thing that happened that made you think, oh wow, I need to do something different here?
No.
Was it one day you got home from work and
No.
It was just general?
I mean, it might have been a specific day. I don't recall it as a specific day. I recall it as occasionally feeling like, oh my God, something has to change. I'm not quite pulling this off. However, I was already very organized. So I didn't have a big aha moment because of that. That's just where it shows up as, oh yeah, that's why I have these systems in place so that I can do this. Mm-hmm. And at times, maybe needing to adjust them a little bit so that it would free up even more time.
So talk about some of the systems that you put in place and that you do personally and that you provide for other people.
Right. So I always think of the household itself as the foundation, whether it's for a business and professional person or an entrepreneur or a woman raising a family. It always starts with your home environment, because your environment reflects back at you what you can achieve no matter what. And it provides the nurturing space for you to be and your family to be and relationships to be built.
I like that. Your home environment provides the foundation for what you can achieve.
Yes. So, people always go, well, it's not that big a deal that, my laundry isn't in a hamper. But when you are getting ready to go take your kid to the first day of school and you can't find your own socks, your home provides the supportive environment so that your kids can learn better, so you can do what you need to do. So if your kitchen's a mess and you haven't done the dishes and you don't know where the oatmeal is, you can't provide that foundation, that breakfast everyone needs to have a good day. So everyone's cranky by the time they even get in the car or start their day.
Okay, so that's starting with your home. So how do you do that?
Well, you want to start with the basics, your food, your clothing, your sleeping, your ablutions, so you can get started in the day. All those things you need. You sleep, you eat, you get dressed, you go about your stuff. And if you have to fight through every one of those activities before you even start, it's not good. So you just break it up by room, you know. What's your kitchen set up? That's the heart and hearth of the home, so set that up first. Then where's your private spaces, your bedrooms? Let's make a nice environment for having recuperation space and sleeping space.
This is so interesting to me because as a business person myself, I wouldn't have thought to go to the home first when I'm thinking about organizing myself in my business life. But what you're saying is that if we don't start at home, we don't have the foundation to do anything else successfully.
Right. You're arriving at your office or your workspace already frazzled because you didn't eat right. You forgot to grab the right things on the way out the door. The kid's permission slip is still on the counter, or maybe it's by the front door, or maybe it's in the office, or maybe it's in the car, because you don't know. We spend an awful lot of time worrying about the stuff we don't know where it is.
Okay, so that's a great takeaway here, just to call it out for our listeners, that no matter what, where you are in your organizing, you need to really take care of stuff at home first. So what's the next thing that we need to focus on?
So once you have the basic rooms set up, so you know where your things are and where they need to be returned to when you're not using them, then you start looking at the rotation systems of life. So how you do your grocery shopping, how you do your laundry, how you deal with the magazines that come in, how you pay your bills, all those things that are regularly scheduled things that no one ever schedules because you'll just squeeze them in somehow. When really, if you regularly schedule them, you save that time. You know when the next time you're going to be at the drugstore is to pick up the lotion. You know when you're going to be able to pick up milk again.
I mean, this all sounds great, but I sometimes need spontaneity and flexibility. And like, I don't want to plan to have to buy everything on a certain day, because what if I want to do it on a different day? Like, how do you accommodate for that?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of creating enough structure that you can be spontaneous and flexible. So in terms of groceries, with continuing with that example, if you stock up in your regularly used pantry items once a month, maybe once every 2 weeks if you have a family that eats a lot of food, you buy those regular things during those time frames. You know that your perishables you're going to need to pick up a couple times a week. But when you're picking up those perishables, you can also add, hey, let's do pasta tonight instead of tacos, or you know, something like that can be fit into that schedule. So the bulk of it, the part that takes 2 hours at the grocery store and unloading and unpackaging and putting away, that's only once or twice a week. And hopefully it doesn't take 2 hours, because really it only takes me half an hour to do that now that there's a system in place. But you still know you're going to go to the store to get the thing on a spontaneous note. And so you're saving time because you're doing it more often. It gets easier with repetition. And you still know that you can always change your mind.
Okay, so let's get specific about one of the systems in the home and the business, which is your mail.
Right.
And I know you're preparing for us the 1 minute mail solution kit that we're going to be able to give free to our listeners.
Yes.
Can you walk us through it so that we sort of know what are the steps?
Yeah. So I created the 1 minute mail solution kit because as I talk to my clients and as we go through their spaces, the thing that they struggle with the most is the paper that comes into their lives. And most of that paper comes through the mail, not all of it. And this whole process mirrors the digital world too. So you can apply it to email and all your computer files. But it's the thing that people don't know. They don't know how long they're supposed to keep things. They're too tired to deal with it in the evening when they get home and they pick it up. So it gets left and it's like not that important. It's just a piece of paper, but it's so important I can't throw it away without looking at it. All those feelings come up and create clutter and mind clutter and space. It takes up space, huge amounts of space and time and worry for people, when really it's not that big a deal. It breaks down to a couple steps. You need to know why you're keeping something, how long you're going to keep it, and where it should go, where you should keep it. So by taking care of those things and walking people through a system that I have not had a single client that it didn't work for, if you break it down to think about that. It's also one of those areas that there's a lot of different options out there for people. There's already designed filing systems. there's containers that are going to corral your papers and solve the problem, but really it's a mindset thing. So my program walks you through step by step with just enough structure and enough flexibility to work for almost anyone. I haven't met the person it doesn't work for yet, if they actually do it. So,
okay, and so what's the first step? And people can go to wellwomanlife.com/03download to actually get this and print it out. But what is the first step that people would take?
Well, the first step is you have to designate a spot where your papers will live so that it's not a few pieces of paper in every open available spot in your house, car, purse, bag, office. You designate the spot. So you just define a few things. And almost all paper can be broken down into just a couple categories. It's either a bill you have to pay or make a phone call about follow-up in some way. It is something that you need to keep as a reference thing, an actual reference thing, not one of those things you think you're going to look at later. And stuff that is very temporary, like it needs to be entered into the computer, put on the calendar, taken with you to the next doctor's appointment, that kind of thing. So very temporary situations. Or it's trash. That's it. There's four categories of paper, and everything can fit into one of those four categories.
Okay, so just to be clear for the listeners, we had the four categories, which was taking action, keeping the papers for reference.
Temporary items.
Having it be a temporary item, or trashing or recycling.
Yes.
Okay. And so what would be the second step?
Second step is setting aside the time to actually process the papers in your action pile.
Okay.
So you can create a routine where you're looking at things once a week, once a day, once a month, and you can automate an awful lot of that and kind of stop the papers or the emails from coming in the first place by unsubscribing. Once you set aside the time and you use it regularly, it takes less and less time every time you do it.
Okay, so for folks interested, they can go to wellwomanlife.com/03download for that 1 minute mail solution kit. What other kinds of things do we need to be making systems for?
Laundry, projects, chores.
The big one really is the bills, though, isn't it? The paper and the bills coming
in. And the 1 minute mail solution kit will walk you through quite a bit of that process. But yeah, and it's a hard one because there's a lot of advice out there that just says automate everything, which is great to a certain point, but then I find a lot of people don't actually pay attention to their money because they've automated it so much that they don't know.
Right.
Like, they know, but the relation in your brain is built a little bit funky, so it doesn't always resonate that, oh yeah, there's no actual money there, or oh, that's a thing that I need to take care of. So it's the steps I walk you through will help you create both that relationship and automate it as much as possible.
Okay, and Miriam, I've worked with you before on getting things organized, and you've even seen my closet. So just to kind of review, like, there's sort of three things that you're supposed to ask yourself when you're trying to decide to keep something.
Yes, and that's also in the 1 minute mail solution kit. It has all the questions for decisions as part of it. But really, you need to know why you're holding on to something, if it's used and loved and serves a purpose for you, then by all means keep it. If it doesn't, there's no need to keep it. There's just so many ways we can replace things these days or get the information a different way, especially when it comes to paper. The information on every piece of paper is outdated by the time you print it, so why would you keep it for future reference? Because it's going to be different. But in terms of your things too, if you love it and you use it and it serves an actual need, you know, not everybody loves their diabetic testing kit, but you need it. So keeping just those things keeps enough space and freedom in your day to do actual experiences.
Okay, so you're listening to The Well Woman Show. I'm speaking with Miriam Ortiz-Pino. We are talking about getting and staying organized and creating systems for long-term results. And Miriam, we're just headed into the segment I call Superpowers for Success. So the first question I want to ask you is, what does success in life mean to you?
Wow. For me personally, it's freedom to be and do what I want. So I'm not anchored to a bunch of stuff, but it's about freedom to express myself.
And does that necessarily mean making a lot of money?
Not necessarily, although I love money. Money is good. It allows me to have those experiences I like and to partake in the things that I want to do.
And how important is your own well-being to your sense of success?
Well, since I'm a solopreneur and it's just me, I can't do any of those things if I am not well. So I start every day with some wellness. I'm a little bit selfish in that. I have to be well first before I can share with the world. So,
and can you share something that you do that maybe our listeners can relate to or would like to also do?
For my wellness, it always starts the night before, so I get enough sleep. I have a very strict repetitive sleep cycle. I go to bed at the same time every night after a routine to wind down. I get up and I have a routine in the morning where I do the exact same things every day. There's a couple exceptions if a special event is happening. But I start with a cup of coffee, some affirmations, some journal writing, meditation. Then I go for a walk and or do yoga. And then I start my day with a good breakfast and go to work.
That's a lot of steps in the morning. I mean, that's way more steps than I can do, I think, or than I do. Maybe I should rephrase that.
Well, when you create a routine, it's easily scalable. So a lot of people will leave out an entire category because they think they don't have time. I just make each category a little bit shorter. So there are some days I meditate for 5 minutes and some days I meditate for 20. There's some days I walk for 40 and do a full yoga workout. And there's some days where I skip the walk in the morning and I do 40 minutes of yoga, but I save the 20 minutes on the other end.
So how long is your whole morning routine before you actually get out the door or get to your desk?
I get up at 6 and I get to my desk at 10.
Wow, 4 hours of self-care.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And so, you know, part of my morning routine involves looking at my calendar and planning my day. So I do take a quick break in there where I look at my calendar and plan so that while I'm getting ready and eating my breakfast, I'm kind of doing some of that subconscious work about work that makes when I get to my desk more efficient because I already have the thoughts going and the processes flowing, and then it's just a matter of implementing what I've decided.
Okay, and so, Miriam, when did you know you were really good at what you do?
Oh, I probably knew it when I was pretty young. I've been doing the organizing and entrepreneur thing since I was a little kid. But there is that period of life, like middle school, high school, college, where I think, especially women, we lose a lot of self-confidence. We do the comparison thing, we do the competitive thing, and at a certain point I didn't think I was able to do it on my own. And then I suddenly realized, you know what, I like myself a whole lot better when I'm doing my things my way. And so I went ahead and tried it, and I'll be darned if I'm not pretty darn good at it. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, it took a lot of kind of reprogramming, though, to come back from that. I will say that.
What do you mean? Like, what did you have to do?
I had to do a lot of trial and error and develop a thick skin to not really care what other people said about what and how I do things.
The thing is when it's so personal like that, and you're trying to make it your profession, I can see that you would really need a thick skin.
Yeah. I mean, I'm told no 100 times a day. I approach organizing from a different perspective than most of my colleagues do. And so even amongst my colleagues, while they know what I do works, they think I'm a little crazy to do it that way. So you know, I'm not all about putting everything in a bin and putting a pretty label on it and making it decor. I'm about making your stuff in your space serve you and what you want to do.
Okay, you sound like your perspective is more like Marie Kondo, which is the new big fashionable way to organize. Are you similar to her or different?
I have no idea. I have not read her book. However, I am big on, does it bring you happiness? I don't think you should keep anything that really brings you down unless you have to. For one of those reasons, like diabetic testing kit. Things should serve you and make your life easier, not more complicated.
Okay, and Miriam, what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
I can be invisible. Which, on a certain level, is because I am an introvert and I can walk into a room and be the observer in the corner and not actually interact with people and still get a lot out of the interaction. However, that can be a bad thing too if you don't get out there and actually interact with people. So
it's a double-edged sword, that invisibility.
That is so interesting. I have never heard someone say invisibility was their superpower, but actually I totally see what you mean, because you can make it work for you.
Yeah. You know, some days I just don't have enough energy to interact, but I can still be learning from an experience. And other times I can take that invisibility cloak off and be fully present and in there interacting.
And how important is it to you to put yourself first with no judgment, guilt, or shame?
Super important. Because, and it is a daily struggle, of course, because all those things are always there for all of us, I think. But it's so much more powerful to not care what other people think of us.
Do you think it takes a certain level of emotional development to get to that point? Or is it an age thing? Or, I mean, because we're not born being able to not care what people think.
Practice. It's just practice. And it takes a lot of work. I've done a lot of different things to redevelop my confidence and practice being said no to and practice being embarrassed. And it just gets a little bit easier every time.
One last question. What advice would you give your 25-year-old self?
Do it anyway. If you have an idea, do whatever it takes to express it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, and what book are you reading right now that you would recommend others read?
Oh, right now I'm reading Jab, 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 Right Hook by Gary Vaynerchuk. It's pretty good on how to use social media to grow your business. I've been on a business book only thing for like the last 6 months, so I'm not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing yet, but we're experimenting with it.
Cool. Well, thanks, Miriam. This is that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
That's it for our show today. I've been speaking with Miriam Ortiz-Pino, professional organizer and owner of More Than Organized. We talk about using organizational systems to get and stay healthy, happy, and successful, and about starting at home if you want to make an impact in your business. You can get the 1-Minute Mail Solution Kit. It's really easy and helpful and super easy to use. It's at wellwomanlife.com/003show, or you can text the phrase 003show to 44222. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings women together to share our successes and challenges as women, leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to apply to start one, email me at info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe to the show in iTunes and leave a review. This really helps with visibility, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week for you. You can also continue the conversation over at the Well Woman Life Community Group at facebook.com/groups/Well Woman Life Community. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you were listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.